Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, where we are not under quarantine yet. And for the next hour, we will be bringing you, folks, I don't know what we'll be bringing you. We'll be bringing you some talk, really, about WrestleMania and some talk about the future plans of the WWE, because there's not really much to talk about when it comes to Monday Night Raw, is there? 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486 is the number if you'd like to talk to us live. Wash your hands first. And, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room where you can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, I got a lot of people who wrote me and saying this is a real shit show. How in the world does the WWE expect to get any ratings at all when they're just replaying the Royal Rumble like they replayed the Survivor Series or the Hell in a Cell? Here's the problem, folks. We got a massive problem here. We're going to get to all of this, but this is a massive, and it certainly transcends wrestling. The WWE, I think, made a horrible decision, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but from a business standpoint, perhaps their back was against the wall and there's no other decision they could make. As far as limiting live performers, there's a reason for this. And the reason for this is if one person, one wrestler, one referee, one announcer, one backstage employee, probably even one camera crew guy or guy, you know, anybody working on a regular basis backstage comes down with this virus, everyone is quarantined. There will be no WrestleMania. There will be nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the WWE knows this. Because everybody's in contact with everybody, right? So if one of the backstage workers or whatever says, yeah, guess what, I was tested and I have it. And even though I'm fine and, you know, I'm going to self-isolate, they're going to say, okay, well, you were in contact with the following wrestlers who were in contact with the following wrestlers who were in contact with the following wrestlers. Therefore, none of these people can be in contact with anyone. That's exactly what's going to happen. So the WWE literally are scared to death. Not scared to death of people kicking the bucket. I don't want to. I've had a lot of people write me since this announcement, and they're really scared now because they're saying this is something I've never lived through before in my life. And if the WWE is scared, it's got to be more serious than we're being told. It's not. It's just that you got to understand that there's a lot of money riding on the next several months of WrestleMania and what was going to come off of it. And this is a very bad situation that the WWE was put in, a very bad situation. And did they make a good decision? Well, last night, a lot of people complained about the show, but to be honest with you, I knew it was going to be like this. I knew they wouldn't have more than one or two matches because they're trying to limit the amount of people anyone gets exposed to prior to the 15-day, 20-day window to WrestleMania. Because there will be no WrestleMania. I don't care if it comes from with no audience. I don't care if it comes with no cameraman. There will be no WrestleMania if even one of those people contract this virus. Even in a mild way, even if they say, I feel perfectly fine, I can go out there and wrestle. It does not matter. It will not happen. So was I upset with the show last night? Yes, I was. Because to be honest with you, if you couldn't do the live matches, which I understand, then did you have no backlog of dark matches that you may have not shown the public? Could you have added some content from some other places and perhaps at least had some wrestlers there from, you know, in different locations if you had to? And I do feel sorry for the fans because, and listen, this is scheduled to be a big show. The Undertaker was there. Stone Cold Steve Austin was there. And just about nothing else. So I'm not going to be selfish and say, well, this was a horror show. I understand. I understand what's going on. I do think you could have done a better job. You did a better job on Friday than this. But I guess I understand. I think they felt very strongly that Steve Austin being on the show and The Undertaker being on the show was going to make up for everything, and they really didn't need to try too very hard. So it's really very hard to look for any positives in this show. I've said this a million times. I will say it a million more. The fans are what makes wrestling. If you doubt me, or if anyone ever doubted me when I said, without the fans, wrestling is pointless, take a look. Take a good look. Take a good look how someone as accomplished and successful as The Undertaker, and as accomplished and successful as the OC, kind of look like little kids in a high school play fighting outside a ring when there's no fans. Wrestling takes on a very, very different look when the fans are not there yelling and screaming. And the look it takes on, unfortunately, is extraordinarily unreal. Now, Rey Mysterio and Andrade did a decent job. But again, it's just not there. It looks extremely staged. There's no playing to the audience. There's no feedback. There's no energy. It's a whole different ballgame, folks. And that's why I think the WWE made a lousy decision. Anyway, before we get into that, there's nothing to talk about. Edge came out and cut a decent promo, which probably actually was better with no audience because it was a little more dramatic, and it allowed the WWE camera people the opportunity to do more like close-ups and things to try to avoid the no audience, and it looked a little more dramatic, and it was fine. And the swerve that Edge's wife was there to announce his re-retirement was a good one. So that was fine. Replaying the Royal Rumble was a waste of time. But there was nothing else to do. You got a little bit of Becky Lynch coming in a 18-wheeler. Stone Cold Steve Austin did his thing. The Undertaker contract signing turned out to be, it is what it is. And Andrade and Rey Mysterio had a match. Aside from that, folks, the only thing I can tell you is in the midst of this horrible situation where it feels like everyone is being so cautious and so playing things so close to the bone that it made me actually tense to watch wrestling because it's so not the same that it actually – I understand why people are panicking. I understand why people are saying, wait, wait, wait. If these big companies like this are doing this, well, you know, am I safe? What's going on? How can I go to work? I get it. It made me feel the same way. Until I stopped and thought about it and said, this is why. Because we cannot afford to have the WWE guys put in isolation for 45 days or more with so many big events coming up that after a certain length of time, the world's going to continue, folks. But in the midst of all of this, there was one bright light. Two, actually. And that came during the Rey Mysterio-Andrade match when, for whatever reason, they had Asuka do commentary sitting next to Jerry Lawler, which made me laugh out loud more than once. Asuka was, there is no way to keep Asuka a heel because there's just no way. Nobody, this is like a Rusev thing. Nobody realized Asuka came in as a face even, and she did originally come in as a face. She came in as a face who said nothing. She came in as a face who was deadly serious and took herself very serious and was not fun loving and playful and happy. She was, I'm focused. I'm a professional. I'm a wrecking machine. When she turned heel, she was the same way. Nobody knew, unless you watched her channel on YouTube, nobody knew that she had this weird sort of bubbly, quirky, funny personality. And they didn't want you to see it either. Much like Rusev. Well, the cat's out of the bag now. I mean, if you think she wasn't doing that on purpose, just making guttural noises and then turns to Jerry Lawler and say, right? Right? And Lawler says, absolutely. I agree 100%. 100% agree with whatever you just said. Very funny. Very funny. I mean, they can't keep her at the announce table, obviously. That was just a joke, and it was a funny joke. But I think that they now see, perhaps, that they can get away with doing some things with Asuka that's a little more playful and a little more comedic and a little more relaxed, and that fans might actually take to her. Perhaps she got herself over with her own channel. That's the only thing I can think of, because if you watched her channel, you see a totally different person. And maybe the WWE powers that be watched the channel and said, yeah, maybe she should just be more like this. She's kind of charismatic when she's like this, and maybe this mysterious, dark, deadly, serious assassin isn't the best way to go with her, because it looks to me, Mike, like last night they kind of put that to bed.
And here's the deal with that. She turned to the right guy.
Oh, yes.
You know, when she goes right, and it's Jerry Lawler. And she knew that he would sell that. She knew that he would sell her correctly. So
yep.
She actually has a head on her shoulders to know that's the right guy to do that with.
Yeah, the look on Jerry Lawler's face, priceless too. I mean, that was the best part of Raw. It wasn't hard. I mean, there wasn't too many good parts of Raw. That was the best part for me. Edge's part was very good too. But this was unexpected. Edge's part was expected. Stone Cold Steve Austin was expected. The Undertaker thing, I think, was tremendously bad. I'm not going to lie to you. And there's no bigger Undertaker fan on the planet than me. But this just didn't work. Without an audience, this just don't work. There are some things in the WWE and in the world of wrestling in general that can work without an audience. And then there are some things that you need that energy for. And The Undertaker is one you need that energy for. Steve Austin's one you need that energy for. He can come out there and say all the stuff he wants and stun whoever he wants. It's not the same. It's just not the same without the crowd. Now, the Edge thing, that worked. This Asuka thing, you know, what made it funny? I think what made it funnier, if the whole crowd was there, this probably wouldn't have been funny. It might have even been annoying. What made it funny was the situation where you say, we're trying to get as many people on the show as we can, and we are really shorthanded because of this virus. And so out they send Asuka to do commentary when it's quite obvious she doesn't even speak English, and she's just rattling off at the mouth. And they don't know what to do, because there she is sitting at the table and, you know, trying to lend a hand at the same time. You know, just kind of totally taking it over and shouting over everybody. That was good. The timing was good. The idea behind it was good, that, well, We're shorthanded. Throw a person in there. That'll be good because there's no other reason. I mean, she's not connected in any way to Andrade or Zelina Vega or anybody. So the only reason that that was done is to further her character. And they did it in the exact right way, Todd. So that was a good spot on Raw, I thought.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Excuse me. I got something in my mouth. You're absolutely right there. Like you said, what Jerry Lawler said at the end, towards the end of the match, she spoke in Japanese. I can't reveal that on television.
Yeah. Very good stuff. Anyway, let's get on to the main crux of this. Ray beats Andrade. That's all you need to know. The big announcement, of course, folks, is one I said would never happen. And I am absolutely stunned. Stunned. That they announced that WrestleMania will continue as planned, but will come to you from the PC Center with no fans. Now, the reason I'm stunned, and I don't know all of the business dealings in this, and we'll speculate on this a little bit shortly. But the WWE has an insurance policy for WrestleMania if it doesn't go on as planned. Now, I don't know if that covers if you have to change venue at the last minute or if it's only no, if it's actually canceled. If it's actually canceled and you collect the money, I don't know why the WWE would do this because they're not going to collect the money then. If they can still get it, if the venue change is forced upon them, I guess I get it. I the only thing I can think of is this has to do with contracts where John Cena simply says, look, I can't make another time. If you postpone this until, I don't know, May, I can't do it. And that would be the end of that angle. Or Goldberg said, well, you know, I'm only contracted for this match and they don't want to pay him. No, I don't know what the situation is. But I know there are some people saying, well, because the storylines, you know, they've gotten to a head now. No, no, no. You could stretch this out another month and a half, 2 months if you wanted to. That'd be fine. That's the perfect way to build content on television. You say, people, you realize that WrestleMania now has to be delayed for a couple of months. So a lot of the programming we're going to do is going to be interviews, you know, things like that. We'll have a match here and there, but mostly we're going to do interviews with the people. And you can really build Goldberg and Roman Reigns. You could really build John Cena, who could do an interview from anywhere. You could really build John Cena and Bray Wyatt. You could really build any of these matches. You could really build Edge and Randy Orton. So it's not that. You could keep this going another 45 days. Easy. Easy. So my assumption is it has to be contracts. And what I was told was this is Vince McMahon's least favorite option, having WrestleMania with no crowd. But they took it. Now, how is this going to work? Not well. I would have rather had WrestleMania canceled for several reasons. Not the least of which is, a couple of people are going to have their big WrestleMania moment, and it's going to be in front of no one. And that's not fair. That's simply not fair. Drew McIntyre worked his whole life for this. He gets his moment, and if he does win, which I'm assuming he will, he's going to hold that belt up to an audience of zero. Yeah, there'll be people watching on TV. It's not the same. Through the annals of history now, when they show him winning this belt, he'll be holding it up in an empty arena with crickets and just his music playing. It's not worth it. We understand the world's on hold, so just put WrestleMania on hold. If that's what you have to do, just put it on hold. Now, there is another option, and that is perhaps they change some of the booking. Maybe Drew McIntyre doesn't win. Maybe Brock Lesnar doesn't win. Maybe we're okay with a double countout, double disqualification, something. And they stretched his baby till SummerSlam. So Drew can have his moment. Maybe that's what they'll do. Maybe WrestleMania this year will not really be the big event. In other words, maybe Vince McMahon has said, look, we're going to hold WrestleMania scheduled, but nothing major is going to happen. Since there's no fans here anyway, nothing major is going to happen. SummerSlam will be our WrestleMania. We'll have the big shows and festivals and all the indie wrestling things and all the meet and greets and all that stuff. Well, that'll all be SummerSlam this year, God willing. And WrestleMania this year will be a lesser event, and we'll deal with it. If that's Vince McMahon's philosophy, that WrestleMania isn't going to be necessarily WrestleMania. It's going to be a much watered down version to just get us through this, and then SummerSlam will be our WrestleMania. Okay. That's fine. Then use WrestleMania to further these angles. Don't use WrestleMania as the last episode of a season. Use it as, you know, the third episode, third before the last. Give us a little bit of hype for what SummerSlam is going to be, and then ride us out until then. That's the best I can tell you. Because I don't think anything in the middle is not going to work. If all the big things happen at WrestleMania in front of no audience, it's going to be such a letdown to the fans. I don't know if fans are going to psychologically buy it. I don't know if the wrestlers can psychologically get themselves engaged enough. If you tell the wrestlers, this isn't going to be our big moment here. We're going to weather this storm. We're going to hold WrestleMania. There isn't going to be a lot of conclusions to a lot of things. We're just going to kind of stay on the treadmill and keep this puppy rolling until this all passes and hopefully SummerSlam. Then okay. But you got to understand that Edge is only contracted for so many matches. John Cena is only contracted for this time. He's got a busy schedule. Goldberg, they'd have to hold him over. I don't know what's going to happen, folks. I don't know. I know right now it's unfair to really blame the WWE because certainly none of this is their fault. I don't know what they're expected to do. If they don't hold WrestleMania, which was my theory, postpone it, they still got to come up with some content. And if you're going to have the wrestlers there anyway, I don't know how that would work. You can't really fly out of the country because every place is affected, apparently. Maybe it takes too long to get another venue. And then you got to understand that the small amount of places that maybe aren't affected, like West Virginia apparently has no cases, and certain places in certain states have no cases, but they don't want people coming in. See, that's the thing. It's like, okay, we have no cases, but we don't want people from New York, New Jersey, California, Chicago. We don't want all these people flooding in, and then we will have cases. So that won't work. Just changing the venue to a lot of people said, why don't they just pick an arena where there's, no real cases of this in an area where there's really no cases? Well, that's why, because those individual areas don't want people flooding in there and giving them cases. So it's a no-win situation, folks, no matter how you look at it. What would my decision have been? My decision would have been to postpone WrestleMania. My decision would have been, we will hold WrestleMania when this is done. Until then, we will continue to put on programming as good as we can. I'm sure that you could get John Cena, no matter what the fuck he's doing, to fly out for one night and do his match. If you cannot, and you absolutely cannot, and John Cena says, absolutely not, my movie contract says I cannot wrestle, once this April date is over, I will not be able to wrestle for another year, then have that match. Have that match on Raw. That's all. Have that match on Raw. Set something else up for Bray Wyatt before WrestleMania. You got time. Or SmackDown, I should say. Have that match on SmackDown, and that's it. If you can't get Goldberg, then have that match on Raw and set something else up for Roman Reigns if he's the champion or whatever. If you can't do it, then get rid of those matches and replan some new WrestleMania matches. But save WrestleMania as much as you can. That would have been my goal. WWE has decided instead to do this at the Performance Center. They won't even do TakeOver at the Performance Center. That's what I'm hearing. The Hall of Fame ceremony and TakeOver the night before, those are both canceled until further notice and probably not happening. Now, will they do the Hall of Fame ceremony before SummerSlam? Probably. That's probably what they'll do. Again, sort of making SummerSlam WrestleMania. But if you're going to do that anyway, then why don't you carry as many of these matches as you can on to SummerSlam? And just give us whatever content you can for right now on Raw and SmackDown. There's got to be some content you're able to do. If you can't do it from there, I mean, you have a facility that you say has 18 rings. So the same people don't even have to wrestle in the same ring if it's that bad. Tape the matches ahead of time. There's no fans anyway. What's the difference whether it's live? So I don't know, folks. This is a tough one, Mike. What's your thoughts on them saying they're going to have WrestleMania at the PC Center with no fans?
It has the feel of being in an armory or a high school gym, you know. You know, that's how it feels to me. And you don't want WrestleMania to feel that way. Now, as far as, yeah, they made the second least decision. The best decision would have been to postpone it, but he didn't want to do that. And frankly, I get with Cena and them, with Cena and why, because this was supposed to have been probably a big moment for Wyatt, you know? Think about it.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is, I mean, they were playing up coming full circle, you know, with him. So, yeah, they were going to have something big happen in that match. Now, could, you know, like you said, could they, you know, postpone the match and say, look, John Cena, can you make it to SummerSlam? They could do that. Now, what would John Cena say? We don't know, but could they do that? Yeah, they probably could do that. I mean, movies film 4 weeks for 4 weeks or whatever it is. If it's a movie deal and he's going off to film somewhere for 4 weeks, now, granted, a lot of these, and here's the deal, a lot of these movies that have been filming have shut down. All right.
That's true too, Mike. That's very true. And we don't know when they're going to pick up production. And that's why maybe Cena's going to say, look, when they do pick up production, I'm going to be so busy, I'm not going to be able to do it. And a lot of these contracts that people sign that are wrestlers, especially like The Rock and Cena, clearly state when the movie is in production, you can't wrestle because they're afraid you're going to get hurt. And if you're going to get hurt and you can't film the movie, then they lose a ton of money. But even if you can't do that, then go ahead and have the John Cena Fiend match. You know what you say? Okay, April 5th, we're not going to have WrestleMania, but we're going to have John Cena versus the Fiend in a, you know, brawl that falls count anywhere or whatever, and then it's going to be all through the arena with no fans. That'll be fun. That's fine. Whatever you got to do. Or put it on SmackDown. Whatever you have to do. But I'm not sure holding the entirety of WrestleMania with no audience is going to work. Not after what I've seen so far. I mean, everybody's talking about breaking down that fourth wall. Well, I have newsflash. There is film all over the place of Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, Bayley, and Sasha not even wrestling during the commercial break, knowing they're completely off the air, instead just standing at the corner talking to each other. There's no point in wrestling. There's no fans to sit here and watch us, and why wrestle through the commercial break? We'll just stand here and count us down, and we'll start again as soon as, you know, the commercial's within 10 seconds of the commercial. I wouldn't have that. I would say no, wrestle through the commercial break because we're going to show the whole match at some point. We'll show the whole match in its entirety at some point. I don't know. Again, I don't know what the business dealings of the WWE is. Maybe they had no choice but to hold WrestleMania. But it just seems like a poor decision. Now, WrestleCon, I think, was being held at the Marriott. And the Marriott hotel chain has actually said to WrestleCon, if you don't come, you owe us like $140,000. Because it's only suggested, it's not being mandated that you can't have it. It's only being suggested. Therefore, it's you who are backing out of the contract, so we want our projected earnings from this if you decide to no-show. This is outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. It's caused Chris Jericho to tweet, there's not a court in the world that would award them this money, and shame on them for taking this attitude during this time. A couple of other wrestlers have tweeted their support of WrestleCon, saying it's absolutely ridiculous. And the Marriott should be ashamed of themselves. I don't know what the hell's going on. I do know this. I'm truly and honestly not afraid of the coronavirus. I'm reasonably young. I'm healthy. If I get it, I get it. I'll probably be fine. The chances are 99.999% chance. I'll be sick for a week or two and I'll be fine. I self-isolate. I don't get anybody else sick. I'm good. Here's what I'm scared of. The way people are reacting. Because I might not die from the virus. But if somebody decides to club me in the back of the head for the last roll of toilet paper as I'm coming out of a store, if people trample me at the supermarkets trying to get the last package of hamburger, if people try to nickel and dime and everything's going to be $50 to try to, take the squeeze the last penny out of everybody, human nature has got me filled with anxiety. That's what's got me upset. The virus, we'll deal with it. But this goes to show you how even in a minor, and I'm not saying this is minor, but in the grand scheme of things, it's fairly minor. This goes to show you how human nature will react in an emergency. Greed, fear, paranoia, me first attitude. I don't like it. And it's got me plenty worried about what would happen if a bigger calamity ever happened. Plenty worried. So having said that, if the Marriott Hotel wants to try to hold somebody's feet to the fire for $140,000 projected earnings, go ahead. But all you're doing is shooting yourself in the foot because there's not a wrestler in the world that would ever stay in that hotel again. There's not a place that would book your hotel again for a wrestling convention. And all of the wrestling fans who know what you did would never stay there either. So what is it that you've gained? Give them their $140,000 and they'll lose $1.5 million. So that makes sense, right? Unbelievable, folks. It's unbelievable. Now, we had people making videos. I know Nick Aldis made a video because the NWA has shut down their Crockett Cup. They've said they're suspending some of their tapings. They're going to try to put on some content. I don't know what content exactly they're going to put on. Same with Impact. Same with everybody. AEW. Everything's shut down, folks. Everything's shut down. And with, but here's the thing. I did have a guy write me, and I guess he made a point that it's a little hard to argue. He said, these guys are making millions and millions of dollars. And they're afraid to come into a place with no audience and just work. I work at Walmart. and they expect me to show up. And they're not closing down. And there's a hell of a lot more than 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 people in Walmart. And I get his point. I guess the only thing I can say is, much like Walmart, WWE has a huge investment in their business. And at the end of the day, their investment is those wrestlers. And if any of them get sick and they all get isolated, their investment goes down the drain. Now, you could say Walmart is the same. If their employees get sick, their investment goes down the drain. But unfortunately, you're not famous. Unfortunately, they can hire somebody else to do that job. So you're more expendable. I mean, it sounds awful to say it, but that's what it is. If WrestleMania turns out to be Curtis Axel against, Mustafa Ali, because everybody else in the planet is sick, it's not going to work. If somebody else is stocking the shelves, it doesn't make a difference. So unfortunately, that's the way the world works, and the WWE is trying to protect their investments. And that's what they're most scared of, is somebody coming down with this, whether it's a backstage employee or a wrestler, somebody coming down with this prior to WrestleMania and having everything shut down, because that is exactly what will happen. Now, in the midst of this, Jerry Lawler is a guy who is a little bit older, and suffered a heart attack, and he is probably one of those people who's in very high risk, and he's there. So there's a lot of mixed messages. I don't know what to tell you, folks. Life is going to be disrupted for a while. Maybe for a longer period of time than we think. And we're going to have to view things a little bit differently. So at the end of the day, all I can tell you is at least you're getting WrestleMania. It's not going to be the way you want it. It's not going to be the event it normally is. It's not going to be as exciting, and it's probably not even going to look as good. But at the end of the day, you're getting something. Could they have put on a different show? Yes. I had fans write to me and say, couldn't they just put on a show and say, look, in lieu of WrestleMania, WrestleMania is postponed. We got these matches. It's going to happen. Yeah, you could do that. But here's the problem with that. Once again, they're afraid. Well, if those matches happen and then somebody comes down with it, we might not be able to have WrestleMania. We're better to get WrestleMania out of the way. Then if somebody gets sick, at least we got WrestleMania out of the way. But I agree with you. That's what I would have done. I would have had a 5-match card, 6-match card, whatever it is, that helped link up WrestleMania in the future and not done WrestleMania until this whole thing is blown over, Mike.
That's exactly what I would have done as well. But as you've said, we did get some pretty good stuff from this sort of non-show. You know, and look, as far as the wrestlers and stuff getting sick, I mean, what was the biggest thing that happened when Magic Johnson started to play, you know, after it was found out that it was HIV positive? Well, right. Well, think about it. They were worried about, well, if this disease is can be transmitted by, what, bodily fluids and all that stuff. So it's like, okay, if he's sitting there, sweating and having to knock up against other players, is he going to transmit this thing? That's what we're working with here, you know?
Well, we're working with even worse, because what they're saying is not only is it airborne, which means if you're breathing on somebody, or you cough on somebody, or your sweat is touching each other or whatever, but also you're hanging onto the ropes, you're falling on the same mat. There's a world of problems. World of problems. It's way worse. It's a contact sport. It's way worse than even like baseball. Because you could argue, well, baseball, you know, yeah, once in a while you make contact with people, but mostly you don't. So I don't know. How is this going to affect wrestling going forward? Well, we don't know. I mean, AEW doesn't have a performance center. They're really screwed. They're going to have to rent buildings, small buildings, and do their tapings in front of nobody and just take the loss. What else can they do? See, this way, at least, the WWE, this is their building, so whatever. AEW doesn't have that luxury. Impact doesn't have that luxury. A lot of places don't have that luxury. Indie wrestling, in especially here in the Northeast, is just going to come to a halt. We're talking about less than 50 people, they're saying. That you have to stay in groups of less than 50 people. If there's more, they're shutting down restaurants. You can order out, but you can't go in and sit down. So if you can't even sit in a room with people because the state has deemed it too dangerous to sit in a room with a whole bunch of people and eat, then it's certainly too dangerous to wrestle in a ring with them. Now, I don't know if any of these wrestlers have been tested. I doubt it. I doubt it because there's not enough test kits. And what I'm hearing is unless you're sick and you're showing real symptoms of this, they're not testing you. So I doubt anybody's been tested. Now, I know I've said a whole bunch of bad news and we've got a whole bunch of bad news. Let me give you a little good news. When people get tested, which will be in the next couple of weeks, the numbers on how many people have this are going to skyrocket and it's going to scare people. But here's the good news. As the numbers skyrocket to who actually has it, the rate of fatality is going to go way down. Right now, it's like at 3%. 3% of the people who contact this die. It's going to go way down from that because there's a whole bunch of people walking around right now who don't feel that bad or don't feel bad at all who have it. And they're not in any danger of dying. So if another 40,000 people have it, and four or five of them are at most are a fatal case of it, the percentage is going to drop rapidly. This percentage is going to drop to like 1% or under. And out of that 1% or under, a tremendous amount of them are going to be people with pre-existing health conditions or the very elderly or a combination of both. Once again, I can't stress this enough. The isolation is not to prevent young, healthy, strong people from dying. The isolation is to prevent young, healthy, strong people from picking up the disease, feeling a little under the weather, going home to grandma, grandpa, shaking hands with people who had diabetes or bad health conditions or emphysema, and then they get it. That's what it's preventive. That's what they're trying to prevent. And if you remember right when Bray Wyatt got that huge flu or pneumonia, whatever the hell he had and was gone for a while, and then Roman Reigns got it, disrupted everything in the WWE. They don't want that again. So this is where we've come to. WrestleMania is going to be held in an empty arena. Last night's Raw, I understand where everybody's coming from, folks. It actually depressed me. It really did. And it made me a little anxiety-ridden, too, because I said, what is this? You know, it reminds me of the bubonic plague. I'm just like, oh, my God, everybody's so fearful. We can't even have anything but a replay of WrestleMania. It's like they've shut the airwaves down. And I know that's scary, but I want people to understand that that's why the WWE is doing this. They're a publicly traded company. They don't want anything such as, I went to a wrestling event in the WWE, and I was perfectly healthy. And someone in that audience gave me coronavirus, and they should have not had an audience there. They knew the health risks, and they ignored it. So I'm suing, because that's what would happen. Or, Seth Rollins has been diagnosed with it, and he's feeling pretty good. He's, you know, he's going to be out a week or two in isolation, but he'll be fine. But in the meantime, now we have to test every single wrestler. We have to isolate everybody who's come in contact with him. We can't hold any shows for any reason, anywhere, at any time. Can't have that. Can't have that. So that's why they're doing this. So don't look at this as doomsday, end of the world. They're afraid of all dying. That's not what it is, folks. Trying to protect their business investment. That's the bottom line of it. That's the bottom line of it. And that's the reason they're telling all of the wrestlers, you don't really have to be at Raw or SmackDown. If you feel uncomfortable, don't come. We'll pick one or two people to have a match every week until this is blown over, and we'll just ride the storm out with interviews and segments and replays and stuff like that, and we'll have a match here or a match there. But Jerry Lawler's got to show up, who's had a heart attack and probably has a weakened immune system. So that'll show you that they really aren't panicking as far as that's concerned. They just don't want their wrestlers. They don't want their bread and butter guys to be down. Stone Cold Steve Austin showed up. The Undertaker showed up. Neither one of them guys are young. So it's not that they're afraid. It's that they're erring on the side of caution. So I don't know what to tell you. I think NXT is going to emanate, Todd, this week from the Performance Center as well.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I would have done like, show like old episodes of primetime wrestling, an old WrestleMania match every week, and show like a regular match, like one or two every week.
Yeah, I don't know. The promoter in me says I would have postponed WrestleMania. I would have said we're stretching out any of these feuds for the guys who can do it. We're going to build this Edge and Randy Orton thing to epic proportions. We're going to build this John Cena and the Fiend thing to epic proportions. We're going to build Goldberg and Roman Reigns to epic proportions, and it'll be an even bigger WrestleMania. Even bigger. But I guess there might be some business reasons, Mike, why they just can't postpone it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, I also get why AEW is canceling things. Think about it. Two of their three commentators aren't young people. You know, Tony Schiavone, and of course, we know the health problems that Jim Ross has had over the years. So, yes. Yeah, we get that. And look, the NWA, that building, it doesn't hold a lot of fans. In fact, if you look at how the thing is filmed, there's only fans on one side of the building.
Right.
You know, the NWA power. So yep. They could probably get away with filming before fans, but they're not going to chance it, you know. And as far – look, one other thing about the Asuka deal, they're not going to be able to keep her a heel for long. And what are they going to do with Kairi Sane?
I don't know. I think they got this feeling that Kairi Sane is not going to resign. Kairi Sane's expressed her displeasure a couple of times. She's not used all that well. Maybe they'll send her back to NXT. I don't know. Or maybe she'll just go home. But because I know she got married recently to a Japanese wrestler, I think it was, or so maybe she'll just go back to wrestling in Japan. Kairi Sane is a great wrestler, but she's not the personality that Asuka is. Asuka has an exuberance that is starting to come out. See this. I compare Asuka to Rusev because it's exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. Rusev for a while was this very serious, no frills, destroy, 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 crush type person. And then you begin to see his exuberance and his real love for what he did and his eagerness to entertain the fans. And it endeared him to a lot of fans, and he got generically over that way. Organically over, I should say. And the WWE didn't like that. They didn't want him to get organically over. They wanted him over on their terms. Asuka's played their game as far as on their show, but on her own channel, she's showed herself. And I think the WWE has said, before she organically gets over, we may as well take advantage of this because it ain't working the other way anyway. Nobody is booing Asuka. Nobody is against Asuka. We've tried everything. More people didn't like her when she was a face, when she first came in, because the attitude was, I'm better, nobody's ready for Asuka, and I'm better than everybody, and she never loses, and it was just like, God, forget it. Even I didn't like it. But this Asuka could be funny, could be fun to watch, and certainly could be somebody that you'd want to root for. So I think they should just let her be herself, because here is one of the very, very few cases where I do believe that the real person is larger in life and personality than the character you gave her. Usually it's the exact opposite. Usually it's, oh man, you meet these guys and you, oh, these are such flamboyant, outrageous characters, and you meet them, you're like, yeah, it's just a normal person and they're not really that interesting. Asuka may be the exact opposite. Her character isn't all that interesting, but she actually is. And maybe they just need to reverse it, Mike, because it seems like it'll work better.
Right. I mean, she's one of the few people that doesn't speak the language well, but if you give her the microphone, it's enjoyable because, you know, because of her personality, because of her charisma, you know. And that's the thing. You've got guys that just aren't enjoyable to watch at times. That's not Asuka right now. Asuka, I mean, yeah, it was good. It was good that she what she did with Jerry Lawler, but the whole time you were watching, it was very much an enjoyable thing to watch.
You know, there's no question that addition made that match more fun to watch. Without her even having a great grasp, and she speaks the language fairly good. If you watched her channel, you know, she can get by. So a lot of that was just acting. But her passion for, and here's the thing. There's no connection with her and Andrade. So for her to just be so over the top for Andrade was amusing. It was actually funny. And because the other announcers were sort of taken aback by it, like, okay. And because she don't speak the language, so it's supposed to be like she don't get it, that it's a give and take and people are trying to comment. And she's just going, no. And screaming. And she did the right thing. You know, language barrier or not. She put over Andrade. She's, you know, Andrade's when he's winning, she's going crazy, and then the minute Rey Mysterio comes back, she's like, oh, no. And it was, she literally put over Rey too. She did her job. She did her job without uttering any sentences that anybody could understand. And if you don't think that's talent, then you need to rethink, because I didn't understand a word she said, and it made me enjoy the match more. Which means that she was able to transcend that language barrier and just show with sheer emotion and sort of passion for the match, which she should have no passion for, because again, she's not tied into it. It made it more enjoyable, Mike.
It really did. Here's something else to think about. You know, you got Funaki there. That's a Japanese, you know, commentator that you could actually use him and do the interview her promos in Japanese, and on the bottom of the TV screen use the subtitles if you wanted to. If that's what I would do if I was the WWE, you know.
See, the thing is, what they could do with her is just what she does on her channel, which is she speaks broken English. You know, she speaks good enough English. You know what she's saying. It's not always exactly correct. Like, she'll say something costs $19.99, instead of $19.99. But you get what she's saying. And or she'll say that something tastes this way. You know what she's saying? It's fine. It works out fine. Trust me. If they do the mixture of broken English with a little, just enough English so people kind of get where she's coming from, it'll be fine. It's fine on her channel. She's got I don't know how many subscribers. Most of them are from the United States. They understand what she's saying. So they can pull this off. And they probably, they may as well, actually, because at this stage, after last night, I don't see Asuka as a heel. What she basically did was take the place of the audience. There's no fans rooting. There's no fans cheering. There's no fans going back and forth. She became that. She became the audience of one. Cheering, rooting, screaming, hollering, not letting the announcers get a word in edgewise. And you know what? We felt energy. We felt energy in an empty arena. Because at least there was somebody rooting for, you know, somebody wasn't just calling the action. There's an arm lock. There's a drop kick. No, she's actually rooting. Came the fan. That's kind of what I saw from her last night, Mike.
That is what I saw from her last night. To tell you the truth, if they can find other people that can do that, I mean, they tried it with Triple H on the first one on the SmackDown, and it really didn't work out. But it actually did work out with Asuka. I mean, this could be another thing that could, as they're doing these non-show shows in front of no audiences, which is for the time being probably what they're going to end up being doing, you know, on SmackDown, Raw, and NXT, probably.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure you could find other wrestlers that can do what she's done. Hell, Heath Slater could probably do it. Any number of people. They got enough wrestlers there that they could do that.
They do, and they may want to really think about that. They may want to think about trying to incorporate any kind of unusual idea they can to help things along. Any kind of unusual idea they can. I do want to say one more thing. If Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania does indeed put over Drew McIntyre, or if they change the booking and they wait till SummerSlam, either way, if eventually Brock Lesnar puts over Drew McIntyre, I think we all have to admit that perhaps Brock Lesnar has changed his philosophy a little bit and is agreeing to help put some people over and at the end of what he feels is the end of his career, because he's put over Seth Rollins two or three times. He sold McIntyre's kick. He sold Keith Lee at the Royal Rumble big time. At this stage, I'm saying maybe he's being a little selective of who he sells, but he is giving back something. So if he does drop to Drew McIntyre, maybe I'm wrong about Brock Lesnar. Maybe in the coming year or two on his whatever his contract is, maybe he will say, I'll give back a little bit to the sport and I'll put some people over. Maybe he will. If he does, good for him. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. Anyway, folks, this is a very, very hard Raw to judge. How can you judge it? It was a replay of the Royal Rumble with Stone Cold Steve Austin showing up to an empty arena, The Undertaker beating up the OC in what looked like a high school play. We're going through some very difficult times, and I'm very, very reluctant to be super critical of a business like the WWE, who's still trying hard to put some content on to entertain fans and walking that delicate balance between how do we protect all of our wrestlers and all of our workers, backstage workers, and still satisfy the fans. Could they have done a better job? I think they could have. We could have had at least one or two more matches, couldn't we? I mean, if they're there anyway. Becky Lynch was there anyway. There's not another girl you could have had her have a match with. There were things you could have done. But I'm not going to kill him because I just can't. I just can't at this time. I will give this a C, just right down the middle. I didn't need to see the Royal Rumble replay. I'd have rather just had interviews with the superstars than that. You want to show me some highlights for a minute or two, fine. The whole Royal Rumble match was ridiculous. I thought the Edge spot was very good. I thought that the Undertaker spot was less good. I thought that the Rey Mysterio-Andrade match was good, but, you know, you see what's up with that. Asuka's commentary was very funny, very, very entertaining. Steve Austin is great, but it's just not the same without an audience. Steve Austin needs that audience to be Steve Austin. Everybody knows that. The Becky Lynch spot, it is what it is. I'm just going to give it an average grade of C, Mike, because I don't know how to judge it.
Right, I'm going to give it a C as well. And as far as the commentators, what's his name? The black fella. Usually is that guy that is.
Oh, Byron Saxton?
The man. Saxton.
Yeah.
Byron Saxton. And
right.
I don't know what they've done with him. But he's not that anymore. So he could. I'm pretty sure if they told him that's what they wanted him to do, he'd do it. But that's not what they're having him do now, you know?
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, look, the WWE is going to undergo some changes here. And this is right at a critical time. You also got to understand when Vince McMahon, now it's coming out that Vince McMahon was trying to sell the rights to WrestleMania to broadcast free to the audience. In other words, you weren't going to have to pay anything for it. It was going to be like the Super Bowl. You could just tune in and watch it. There's going to be commercials, but, you know, that's the way it is. That obviously won't happen until next year now. It's at a time when AEW is trying to compete so hard to stay alive, and they can't afford for fans to just forget. They can't afford for fans to say it was fun while it lasted, but, you know, if they're going to take a month and a half hiatus, or, you know, maybe it's not as good as I thought, and then just, you know, lose interest, they can't afford it. NWA, same thing. Nick Aldis said it in an interview where he said, look, the Crockett Cup was our fastest selling event ever. A lot of tickets were sold that first day, and we were, you know, in the history of our company, this has been our new company. This was our best event, and we were all so psyched and happy that this company is growing by leaps and bounds, and we can't afford to have the fans lose interest in our product. We cannot afford that. So we're going to have to produce some kind of content. We're going to do this as much as we can to keep you interested in this product because we know we have to. Well, this is exactly correct, and it's not only going to affect NWA. It's not only going to affect AEW, it's also going to affect WWE, because if people say there's no reason for me to tune into Raw and SmackDown anymore, the only thing I'm going to see is replays of pay-per-views I could watch on the network, they may just not turn back when it's live. They may not just not turn back when everything's back to normal and say, oh, I kind of lost my interest in wrestling when that whole thing happened, and, you know, I'm not going back. It's happened before. It could happen again. So, yes, this is a critical time. So if you're a wrestling fan, you know, try not to be overly critical because they're going through a rough time too. And they're trying to do the best they can. Believe me when I tell you, they're trying to do the best they can to entertain you. And everybody's worried about it. Everybody's worried about losing fans, losing business, losing momentum. You know, how many of these wrestlers say, well, I'm not even wrestling now. I'm going to lose so much momentum. I was just on the verge of my character, and now I'm not even going to be doing anything for a month and a half, 2 months, maybe more. How is this going to work? There's a lot to this, folks. There's a lot to this. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with you guys to see. The things I like on there was the Edge spot, his promo.
Yep.
There's one I don't like is the Undertaker spot, and I like the Asuka commentary.
Yeah, me too. I mean, look, the Undertaker spot was as good as it could be, but It just doesn't work without an audience. There's some things that don't work without an audience. I'm afraid The Fiend isn't going to work without an audience either. Without an audience, without a big, you know, hadoo, The Fiend's character just might look silly. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't know. I'll reserve judgment on it. Anyway, we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, Wednesday, we'll see what AEW does. We'll see what NXT does. Now that their big events are both on hold, or at least NXT's is, I don't know what kind of programming they're going to give you. It'll be very interesting. It's an interesting time, folks. Stay with us, and we'll get you through it. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.
China long before anyone thought it was necessary and hasn't any credit yet.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh God. What's going on?
Let me watch. I sent you a text. I didn't call you because I didn't know if you were on the radio or not. So
yeah, I was.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know not to take a shake.
No. No, I won't give her milk.
So, I have like a mushed up banana water on it.
She don't look like she's feeling good, but she hasn't.
Hopefully this passes.
Stressful.
Kathy just called me a little while ago, and she wanted to know if I had. Yeah, I had Jackson, and since about 10, 12 years ago, I had shingles. She goes, oh, okay. She goes, I just wanted to make sure because you guys are at the house tonight, and I have shingles. I was like, oh, God. Said it starts with the boy and goes right down. Behind her leg, right down to her foot.
Oh my God.
She went to the doctor this morning. She goes, it's been going on for about a week. So I had asked her originally, I said, well, did you catch it early? Because the earlier you catch it, you can medicate it, the quicker it'll go away. So it took me about a week before I went to a doctor, and it still took about 2 months to go away. She goes, oh, she goes, I'm a mom having it, and she was in sheer agony. But they put on Valtrex for it, so.
Good grief.
But I didn't say anything to her about Nora or anything, because I know what she'll do. She'll, oh, I'm going to bring her to the bathroom.
Yeah, absolutely. No, bring her around.
Isn't away in like another day. I'm going to call her doctor, though, and see if she can prescribe her an antibiotic, because she has, you know, diarrhea and not going away or whatever.
Right.
But I'm not bringing
it.
Not gonna.
I don't blame you.
So.
I do not blame you one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Alright,
well,
I'll
have a connection on you. Got the phone on or something.
First time I tried to call you, it said can't make the call. So I don't know what's going on. The first. You can't make this call at this time. Just hung up on me. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Your phone's on its last wire, so to speak.
So it hasn't been nobody in?
Not one now, I got Judy in. On that, nothing.
No. No, play it by ear.
The fat girl called me and she's like, well, can you buy some DVDs? I said, no, I've been really looking for DVDs right now.
I mean,
I don't know if they get them for you or they steal them or whatever, but every week they come in here with
one. I wouldn't mind, really, because if I can put some on eBay, that would be a really good thing. You might want to recall her and say, you know, I've changed my mind.
Yeah, they bring stuff that's, like, common. They don't have anything that's rare. They're always bringing me stuff that we have a receipt of.
All right, sweetie. I'll talk to you soon.
Love you.
Demeanor does not matter. Period. His actions matter. Period. If someone comes out and is nice and reassuring and does absolutely nothing, does his demeanor matter?